Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I have Joy Rowland. Joy is an IT expert. She worked in the IT field for many years and then went out on her own. And today, she actually helps people set up AI agents. These are virtual employees that can answer the phone, answer emails, do all kinds of crazy things that 10 years ago, we would have thought were just so far-fetched, you'd never know. So this will be a fun conversation. And for those of you that are out there looking for that unique thing that you may be able to bring to the field to create a little side business or a new career, you need to pay attention to this episode. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Joy, how are you today?
I am very well, Jeff. I want to say thank you so much for having me on your amazing show. I'm so happy to be here.
You are welcome. I'm really looking forward to the conversation because I geek out on AI all the time. So first off, why don't you tell us your story? How did you get to where you're at today?
Oh, gosh, how long do we have? Okay, I'm going to give you the short version. So I'm an immigrant at the age of 25 with no English. I emigrated from my country and I moved to the UK in search of a better life.
Okay.
And I studied computer science at college and then a master's in information technology in the UK.
Okay.
And my journey has evolved. Like there's a lot of turns on the way. Like many entrepreneurs and many human beings on earth, there was lots of challenges. And I think that's what makes life very, very interesting. And now I enjoy my life now, having overcome all of those challenges.
And now, where did you come from originally?
Northern Nigeria.
Okay, very cool.
Yes. And so now I live in Canada.
Okay.
I feel it's the best country in the world. I've lived in many countries. And so I just enjoy my life now. And like you, I'm geeking out on AI.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing thing. So you worked in the IT field for many, many years. When did you kind of make the decision to launch out on your own into your own business?
Oh, gosh, I have always known that to create wealth, I wouldn't create wealth working for somebody. Like when I moved to the UK, I started studying books, personal development and all of those things. So I've always had a business in one form or the other.
Got it.
And like I said, I've tried many things. I've done network marketing. I've sold things, right? So I've tried many businesses. I've tried consulting, which I did in my current just past corporate role, consulting as an IT consultant. So I've always tried different things and I've always been searching for that thing that will make me feel like, finally, I have arrived. And I think, thank God, I'm in that space now. And so I have always been entrepreneurial, always thinking about how to find a gap in the market and fill that gap with whether it's my existing skills or experience or learning new skills, like in this case, AI.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's evolved so incredibly fast. I mean, I think back, you know, it was what, 3 years ago, maybe that really ChatGPT kind of bounced out onto the scene and it was good, but it wasn't great. And how fast this is moving at such an incredible clip. I know you and I have had some conversations prior to this about IBM. Do you want to share kind of what you were sharing with me of what they're seeing in a savings from their business?
Yes, I actually now have a newsletter on LinkedIn. And just a couple of weeks ago, I published a version researching IBM and how they've invested tons and tons of money. And the chief executives have said that they have now saving $3.5 billion just from implementing AI agents. Uh-huh. And now IBM have a huge platform that developers can go and actually develop agents on their platform. So they are such an interesting case study. Mm-hmm. And truly, as an AI advocate myself, I am so grateful that they have invested all of this money and now they are reaping the benefits of this investment. And now I can now show people what's possible if they take a leap. Because let's be honest, early adopters are the people that will benefit from AI. Many people are still very skeptical, and rightly so, right? But those who have the faith and take the leap, I think those are the people that are reaping the benefits right now.
Absolutely.
And just to mention about Amazon, we're talking about Amazon. Mm. Amazon has replaced 14,000 staff.
Wow.
These are not warehouse staff. These are decision makers that AI agents have replaced, which is like wild. And I tell you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Many, many more companies, based off of the conversations I am having behind the scenes, they are like, how fast can we get this rolling? Because they've seen the benefits. And so I just want to encourage people. You might think, oh, your career is safe. I just want you to think.
It's not.
And have, right? It's not. So think of ways you could, I want to say AI-proof your career if you want to stay in your career. How can you start thinking strategically? Because if you are in an operational role, I promise you AI is coming after you. Like even developers, my background is in software development. Even ChatGPT can write code so fast, something that will take an AI developer 2 weeks to figure out. ChatGPT writes the code for you, tells you how to deploy the code. So even now, software developers are losing their jobs in drones. So I just want to encourage people. I'm not someone that likes to put fear in people, but it's just for you to like say, oh,
it's reality. This isn't trying to fear monger. I mean, this is reality, and it is going at a unbelievable clip. You know, I think businesses, like I said, if I was an employee of somebody right now, I would be looking at every possible thing I could learn about AI to AI, like you were saying, AI proof my career. But if my company decides, okay, we don't need you anymore, we can replace you with AI, at least you have skill sets that you can go someplace else. And maybe you can get your current employer to pay you to go learn some of this stuff, because they'll probably pay you to learn it. So you at least are, one, protecting your career where it's at, but two, you're also learning some skills that keep you abreast of where everybody else is in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Jeff. So imagine a staff, an employee of a company coming to the employer with a plan to say, I can help our company save 40% in cost by implementing AI agents. Like your salary will go off the roof if you like upskill and you have those AI skills to present to your employer. So even though I say for people to AI proof their career, I believe that AI is also creating new opportunities, because two years ago I wasn't doing AI agents.
No,
but this has created opportunities for me. So I want to encourage people that opportunities are being created. You just need to take advantage of those opportunities.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of switch gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about your transition into of what you're doing now. Explain to us what your business is and what you're doing.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jeff. So my company is called Clearcroft. And before 2022, I was doing IT consulting. So I was consulting with banks and financial services companies.
Okay.
And then in 2022, I pivoted my company because I now have 12 developers working for me. I told them there is a huge market with AI agents. And so I delved into AI agents. I started building AI agents. And I started testing these agents and the things these agents could do, especially the fact that they have intelligence. So not that they are reading from a script, they are very intelligent to reach the goal you've assigned to them. So for example, I built an AI agent whose goal is to close a sale. And so she's able to handle objections regardless of what those objections are. Mm-hmm. She's intelligent enough and she sounds like a human being.
Yep.
I had a client the other day, I did a demo and he was so scared and he's like, he doesn't believe this is an AI because he doesn't sound robotic, right?
I've hired some people that sounded more robotic than the AI agents I have.
Yeah, and these AI agents can even crack jokes if necessary in the conversation.
Yeah.
And not only that, this agent I built for an immigration consultant, after she's closed the sale on the call, she actually then emails them a customized invoice.
Nice.
like, what's going on? Like, customized to the client with the client's name, the amount to be paid. Like, I'm like, what? And then she copies all the people in that accounting department in the email she sent. I'm like, and this is what you would pay a human being thousands of dollars to
a month to do this. And sponsor. Probably they'll screw it up somewhere in there.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. And the AI agent doesn't take time off, doesn't call in sick, doesn't have bad days where it's not consistent. It's consistent every day. You know, every
bit. I broke up with my boyfriend and then the receptionist isn't treating my clients right.
Yeah.
Right? Because she broke up with her boyfriend and now she's emotional.
Yep.
And then she picks up the call. My clients can hear that she's been crying all day.
Mm-hmm.
AI doesn't have that. They don't have all those emotions. They are still efficient. They never ask for time off. They never ask for a raise. They never go on vacation. They work 24/7. And so why wouldn't a business leverage AI? I know people can get very emotional when it comes to businesses deciding to adopt AI, but think about this from a company's perspective. They answer to board of directors or shareholders, right? Ultimately, their goal is to make more money. Mm-hmm. And they now see that the biggest bottleneck in a company are the humans, right? And if AI can do the job a lot better, they are going to adopt AI for sure.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's the reality of the world, the way it's going. And I think for a lot of small business owners, I think one of the biggest challenges for them a lot of times, I know I've seen it in my own business, you know, the biggest challenge is your own self. You know, if you can't scale beyond you, or if the business is based on you only, then the business has no value. You're just trying to sell a job. But if you sell a system that has all the bits and pieces of it that can run without you, and maybe even run without a lot of employees, just have a small amount of employees that are overseeing certain parts of the business, a lot of those things that need to be those consistent tasks that may be repetitive, that people get to the point where they're just like, I'm not even gonna pay attention to all the steps. I'm going to just shortcut and everything else. That AI agent's going to follow precisely what you've taught it to do. And it can even think around, okay, maybe this is a more efficient way of doing it.
Yeah. I love that you said that, Jeff, because I'll give you an example. So for LinkedIn outreach, for example, I know that there is value in doing outreach to these top executives who can benefit from my services.
Yeah.
But I am not the kind of person that loves to DM people.
Mm-hmm.
But with an AI doesn't have the emotions I have. So for example, if my target is 20 connections on LinkedIn every single day.
Yep.
There are days if I try, maybe after two connections, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll leave the rest for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But with the AI agent, she's going to go 20 connections, which is the limit that LinkedIn allows. She's going to go, she's going to DM them. When they respond, she's going to respond back. And that's the beauty of technology. So we can always I'll focus on the areas of our businesses where we shine, right? Mm. And then for the areas we don't really like outreach, we can delegate to technology.
Absolutely. Well, and it's consistency. And honestly, I shouldn't be the one that's doing outreach for LinkedIn. That's something that either I pay somebody who makes a lot less money than I do, or somebody that, you know, is able to, you know, or an AI. I build an AI that's going to allow me to do that. So explain to us about your business. How do you work with like a company, and what's your typical company that you typically are, you know, kind of targeting or wanting to work with?
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeff, for that question. So up until about 3 weeks ago, I was working with local businesses. Yeah. So think med spa, landscapers, dentists. Those were my clients. But for the past 3 weeks, I'm now focusing on corporations. Yeah. Corporations who are kind of dabbling into what AI can do for their businesses. Maybe they are thinking about AI automation. They are thinking about, how will this work? And they have no clue who to hire, what technology to use. So I come in with my expertise and I guide them, whether that would be leveraging IBM's technology or building the technology in-house, because obviously we have to be mindful of proprietary data. Yeah. So for example, many companies want to keep their data in-house. They don't want like OpenAI, which is the technology we build AI agents on. So they want to build all their technology in-house just to protect their data. So that's where I come in. I look at their current tech stack, and then I give them an AI strategy, because ultimately I want to help them get the benefit of AI and have like an ROI from AI in a shortest amount of time. So that's where my work is right now.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about, let's say if I'm a mid-sized business or even a small business, you've been working with a lot of small businesses, how can they implement AI into their business, especially from the perspective of what you do with the AI agents? How can they implement? What's kind of that first step if they're skeptical?
Yes. I think the first step is identifying how you make sales. So for most local businesses, it involves people calling into the organization. So take, for example, a med spa or a dentist. Someone has to call in and ask about their services, and then they would have an appointment booked, and then they'll come in for their consultation. So a simple way they can, in less than a day, start reaping the benefit of AI is to have an AI voice agent answer the call. The reason is because the time a lead calls your business, that's the time they are most likely to buy. And the interaction they have with your business will determine whether they become clients or not. And the beauty about a voice agent is when she's trained to sell, she's not just there to book appointments. She's there to understand, like she understands how humans think. That's how she's been built. And she's able to address all objections to ensure that that person actually comes into the consultation, right?
Got it.
So I believe every business can leverage AI that way. And I think the benefit for many local businesses is having someone answer the phone 24/7. So for example, some businesses close at 6, but what happens if your future client has a 9-to-5 job and they happen to call you after 6. So having someone who can answer the phone 24/7, like it will dramatically increase the number of footfall you have into your business.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Are there other, so what other things can be, you know, because it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody answering the phone or a computer answering the phone. What's some other ways that you can kind of automate your business using the, the AI agents?
Yeah, so it depends on the type of business.
Okay.
So based off of what I have seen in many businesses, I believe that almost 80% of a business can be automated fully with AI agents. So everything from following up with documentation, following up with clients, collecting payments, billing, all of those can be automated. And I'm not just suggesting that you automate and you just wash your hands off. With AI agents, they actually keep a track record in your CRM. So at any time, you can go listen to the call that the AI had with your client. So everything is tracked and everything is documented. Also, the agent will advise all the people that needs to be advised, whether that's via email or creating a record inside CRM and assigning it to the next team member. So everything, I believe, can be automated apart from doing what we humans do best, which is like connecting human to human. Outside of that, I believe everything else can be automated with AI agents.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
What do you see next? What's you're on that cutting edge. What do you see is next coming down the pike for a lot of businesses?
I think for 2026, there'll be a rush to adopt AI by lots of businesses. And I think that's where many people can tap in, whether you do this part-time or you do this full-time. The skill set that businesses are going to need, I don't think enough people are there to fill in that gap. So I can see a gap in the market. And like, I know there will be challenges ahead. I'm not trying to say everything will be all rosy. So look at the crash that happened with AWS, Amazon Web Services. Look at how we affected so many companies around the world.
And for so many weeks afterwards. I mean, you could just feel the slowness in a lot of websites. And it was funny because I had a, we have a, in one of my businesses, we have a test center. So we have people coming in and testing for different, you know, skill sets and things like that. And one of the guys came in and we were talking about this because his test bombed out that day that we were having all those problems. And he goes, yeah, just wait and see for the next 3 weeks, you're going to see slowness throughout the internet. Cause it's like it all, it has to kind of catch up after one of those things falls. And I saw a funny little cartoon on Reddit one day where it was like, it's this picture of all these blocks sitting on top of each other. And it says the entire internet. And then there's one little block that's AWS East server, you know, that if that one gets knocked out, the entire internet gets blown up. So yeah, we're going to have challenges. And, you know, I think certainly with AI from a power perspective, I mean, just the amount of power it consumes, I think we're going to continue to have issues, even from just the simplest thing of keeping the lights on, a lot of cases.
Yeah. And like, I suspect that we are going to have tons and tons of failures coming up and then we are going to learn and adapt.
Yep.
So imagine all of these businesses, for example, IBM automating 40% of its entire HR transaction is completely done by AI agents right now.
Yeah.
So imagine if just a little section of, for example, VAPI. I use VAPI to build my agent. And about 2 months ago, it had just a tiny issue. And then all of my clients, their agents were not working.
Yeah.
Right. So that's going to be the challenge, I think, coming in 2026 and beyond, is how we kind of have fallback plans to the AI adoption. And so I know we're going to have tons of critical failures, tons of crashes, and it's going to be interesting how we adapt, because I know this technology is here to stay, but I'm just looking forward to seeing how we crash and then how we rebuild.
That's I think, you know, especially the large language models, I mean, they've developed and developed and developed, but a lot of these voice agent models and things like that are only about a year old at this point. So yeah, I think they're in the very beginning stages. They're babies right now and are going to continue to grow. So yeah, we're going to have to deal with the issues, but it's no different from dealing with a human that, you know, you think you've trained them the right way and they completely go rogue. I think you could see that with AI as well. It's just, AI, you can come back to it and say, no, you gotta fix this problem, and they will fix the problem. Versus, you know, well, you talk to me mean, and I don't want to work with you anymore, and everything else. And yeah, they AI doesn't quit by text. So I think we're moving in the right direction. So what's new in your business? I know a lot of this is new, but what's new and what do you have coming up?
Yeah. So like I said, prior to we going live, I have just been delving into the conversation the CEO of IBM had on YouTube. It's over an hour long interview. Yeah. And so I am delving into how IBM has implemented all of their AI agents. So they have something called Watson X. Okay. So that's the platform I am working on right now, because many of the corporations that want to adopt AI, they want tried and tested platforms. And so I am delving into the IBM platform, and I want to see how I can help more and more corporations adopt this technology. So that's something that, in fact, many times I don't want to go to sleep because I'm just so excited about where this technology is headed.
Yeah, I am too. I'm super excited to see what the next steps are. Well, let's transition to the fast five questions now, if you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first one, you wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, place to stay, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
I'm going to go find a business, and I'm going to build an AI voice agent for them. Like, okay, for sure. I know if I can do that, I'm going to make all my money back.
Yep.
And more.
That's awesome. I love it. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
The biggest business mistake is thinking that there was a secret to success. I have realized that there is no secret to success. Yep. I've studied successful people. All of them failed faster, and they just kept going. They kept iterating and adapting to their failures. They were seeing failures as data, and they were improving. So the biggest mistake for me was thinking that there was a hidden secret somewhere to business success.
There is a secret to business success, and it is just keep moving. That's my wife and I were talking about that last night, and she looked at me and she goes, you know what, after 15 years in business, we need to write a book, you know, about what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. And we were trying to come up with a title, and that was the title we came up last night, was just keep moving. You know, don't stop, just keep moving, keep adjusting, keep adapting, keep looking at what you can do to make it more efficient, and you'll make it. It's the people who get just deer in the headlights look are the ones that end up just failing. And I mean, we've seen that in our business, watching small businesses just blow up over the years. And every time it was, they isolated themselves and they just stopped ideating and changing and adapting to what's going on.
That's really cool, Jeff. But like, you know, it's very difficult to keep going, right?
Yep.
Because we're humans. By default, we want the easy path. And so surrounding ourselves with like entrepreneurs like yourself, I think that's what will help people to keep pushing and keep believing and just keep going towards their goals.
Yep. You need mentors, and you need peers that can push you along in your job. Because if you don't have mentors that can help guide you along the path, and if you don't have other entrepreneurs who can encourage you and, quite frankly, call you on your crap when you're, you know, when you're, oh my God, my life is so difficult. You know, I always loved when I would be in a mastermind with a whole bunch of people, and everybody's like, yeah, I want to be in this mastermind and I want to grow my business. And, you know, I'm sitting here running six businesses at one time, trying to, you know, trying to keep moving. And I would come into the mastermind group and everybody's like, well, I didn't have time to work on my project this week because I was busy. And I'm like, there is nobody in this room that is busier than I am. So do not tell me that. Yeah, it's keeping moving, keeping efficient. Just don't stop. And, you know, this is not easy. If it was easy, everybody'd do it. You know, it's the people that survive realize it's hard as hell to do this, and it's lonely, and it hurts sometimes, and you get scars, but you just keep on going. Otherwise, you might as well just not do it at all.
Wow. I'm going to re-listen to this. Like, that was a mic drop moment right there, Jeff. Like, I couldn't have said it better. And, like, gold. You just dropped gold. Thank you.
Thank you. So what's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
For me, it's The Science of Getting Rich. All the time. Cool. I've read the book over 20 times.
Okay.
I have it on my Audible. It just switched my mind about how wealth is created.
Mm-hmm.
I know many people talk about manifestation, but manifestation without action is zero.
Yep.
And so this book just shifted my mindset. Like I said, I was born in sub-Saharan Africa. Like, having a meal in 7 days, hot meal, was a luxury for me.
Yes.
So I know what it means to come from poverty.
On top of it, with some of the crazies that are up in northern Nigeria at this point, I mean, just survival alone is hard enough. And the fact that you kept moving farther and farther north to cold places, that is survival more than anything. My gosh, girl. What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
Everybody uses this already, so it's ChatGPT.
Yep.
If I was to pay someone to do a job, I will pay them twice what I earn if they could do what ChatGPT does for me.
Yeah.
And I say that, and I encourage people to train their ChatGPT with your voice, your personality, your tone, your business goals, and it's the best tool ever.
Yep. Yeah, I did it from the point of I'm a writer, and I did it from the point of writing. I've got several different AIs that I work with for different purposes in the writing world. And, you know, I basically now it's trained to, if I say I have two different versions of my writing style. One is kind of much looser and things like that. The other one's a little bit more formal. And all I have to do is tell it, you know, okay, I need you to write in Jeff Kickle style. And it knows precisely what I want exactly. And it literally pops out something that sounds exactly like me. It's my way of phrasing things and things like that. And I still have to tweak it a little bit. But I mean, more than that, it gets out exactly what I need to get put out, you know, and I'm really there more to control, okay, the direction we're going, but it's doing the hard work of getting the words on paper.
Yeah, incredible. And you did the hard work to train it, right?
Yeah.
You're giving your all your materials to train it.
Two and a half years of training it, learning how to do that. So anybody that tells me, oh, well, you can't use AI, you know, that's just cheating. I'm like, okay, so what is what's a ghostwriter? Is that not cheating? Then if you hire a ghostwriter, it's just I'm not paying somebody $30,000 to write my words. I'm using a tool to write my words that I personally trained to write my words at that point.
Yeah. I love how you said that. Like, just, I know we have time, but 2 weeks ago, I did a reel. This reel took me less than 2 minutes, a video of an AI tween. Like, before now, to do a reel, I had to do my makeup, I had to do my hair, all of that is gone with just a button.
Yep.
I have my AI twin walking on the road, in a coffee shop, anywhere I want, and now content creation is like this.
Yeah.
So, gosh, AI.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's the people who put in the time right now, and it's not easy. You didn't just go and jump on ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm gonna start a business and it's gonna put out all the stuff that I needed to do. No, you had to spend the time learning how to do this. You had to spend the time developing your business model and everything else. But I guarantee you probably put onto ChatGPT, hey, I need you to act like a business consultant for a minute and let's come up with a business plan to put this together. I do this all the time. You know, I even do this for clients. Hey, you know, I'll help consult with you and all that, but I'm utilizing my partner. My business partner is ChatGPT, or my business partner is Grok, that helps me to kind of go down that road and come up with a good plan for you.
Yeah, and because so many people use ChatGPT, you can leverage that. So I could say to my ChatGPT, you are a world-class consultant. You know what Tony Robbins does in his business. Yep. And then I ask it specific questions. And because he already knows Tony Robbins' business model, he can give me information that I can adopt in my business. And it's just wild.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, if you're not using it that way, if you're just punching stuff into it and saying, hey, give me an answer, you're going to get the most generic, boring answer ever because it doesn't know what you're looking for. But if you dig in a little bit deeper and ask it the right questions, and I mean, people have heard me say this on the show multiple times, if you're not asking it to ask you questions, you're missing out immensely. Because if you don't ask it, hey, what questions do you have for me before you get started? That's the magic to unlocking, you know, any of the GPT models, is just asking it to ask you questions. Because if it's asking you a ton of questions, you didn't explain what you wanted very well. Now, I've gotten to the point where I can type it in, pretty much know what questions it's going to have, and get to the point where I say, what questions do you have for me? And it goes, none, boom, and it just spits out what I'm looking for. But I mean, when I first started doing that, I mean, it would ask me like 20 questions, and answering those 20 questions, boom, I got the output that I was looking for, which is amazing. Okay, last question for you. And this one I'm interested to hear, because you've really had a journey. What is your definition of freedom?
Oh, freedom is if I wake up in the morning and I'm excited to go do my business, that's freedom. Nice. And I've tested that all the time. And now where I'm at, I am so at peace. I feel so fulfilled. And that's how I know. I know it's a journey, right? Huh. You never, until we die, we keep evolving. But that's the litmus test for me. If I'm excited to wake up in the morning, then that's freedom.
That is phenomenal. Well, Joy, thank you so much for being on the show today, sharing your expertise. I just wish the world for you being successful in this area. If somebody's interested in reaching out to you, learning more, where's the best place to go?
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff. Find me on LinkedIn. That's where I do all my things AI. And then on Instagram, I do community development for women.
Okay.
But if you want to find me about AI, LinkedIn is the place to go.
Phenomenal. So we'll put your LinkedIn in the show notes. So I would tell you, reach out to her. She's got the new newsletter. So she's sharing a lot of that with all of us. Joy, thanks for being on the show once again.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's been a joy being here.
You as well. Thank you very much, folks, for joining the show. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you've subscribed and you need something else to do, why don't you give us an upvote or comment on the show? And I'd love to have those comments where we can talk back and forth. So thanks a lot. We will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.